Today's gospel is found in the fifth chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 1, found on page 785 in your pew Bible. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, it's great to see you all here today, and welcome back those who are coming back from wherever you were all summer. We're glad that you're back with us. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Such good words this morning, if you pick them out of our first couple readings today. You know, Revelation said, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne to the Lamb." Also, at the end of that verse, it's that section that said, "And God will wipe away every tear." In the psalm, it said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him." And then verse 18, which wasn't read, but it ends with this verse, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." And then we heard in the gospel, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." All those verses tied together to set the table for what we're going to be doing today. A time of remembrance and honoring, and as we worship and remembering what it means to be blessed. For 11 weeks, Oliver Anthony, and the song, "Rich Men North of Richmond," has been on the Billboard Top 100, even climbing to the number one position a couple weeks after it was released and stayed there for 2 weeks. Oliver Anthony, after it was released in August of this year, has successfully identified with the feeling that a lot of us have, like a lot of people have right now in the United States. Things are changing so quickly, and it feels like a bad dream that I wish I could wake up from, and it would not be so. He says it this way. I'm going to share the G version of the song, okay, if you've heard the song. "I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for not enough pay, so I can sit around here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gone to. For people like me and people like you, wish I could just wake up and it would not be so. But it is. Yes, it is. Living in the new world with an old soul." That line, "I wish I could just wake up and it would not be so, but it is. Yes, it is," is so true. To all of us here who have lost someone dear to us, I know you've had that thought. I certainly have. When you went to sleep one night and you wake up and you go, "Oh, it is true. They're gone. They died. Things ended. I wish I could just wake up and it would not be true, but it is." That song is a lament for Oliver Anthony. The Psalms are laments, many of those. It's a mourning song, not a good morning song, an M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G song, mourning song. Wanting to have what used to be and realizing that we can't have it back. That is the experience of everyone who has lost a loved one. Another song that comes on Christian radio at times, it's called The Only Scars in Heaven. I think we've all felt these words as well when it comes to losing someone. It's from Casting Crowns. He says, if I'd only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held a little tighter. But now what I'd give for one more day with you. That's mourning. That's sadness. Jesus says in today's gospel, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What does it mean to be blessed? Blessed. Well, it's more than happy, because happiness is an emotion that depends a lot of times on an external motivation or external circumstances. Blessed here refers to the ultimate well-being and the distinctive spiritual joy of those who share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. Matthew 5 is the beginning of Jesus' incredible sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins with, well, just notice all these statements. They're called the Beatitudes, meaning it's a declaration of blessedness. It's not, if you will do this, then you'll get this. It's not if then. Or whoever is X, then Y. But it's an unconditional promise, declaring that those who are X will be Y. To each of these, in these 12 verses, it doesn't take long to see that Jesus is turning the conventional wisdom of the world on its head. The way the world looks at things, he's turning it upside down. Conventional wisdom says, don't be poor in spirit. That would be weak. Hold your cards close to your chest. Don't cry. Don't let anyone in. Conventional wisdom says, don't mourn your losses. Just move on. Get busy. Get over it. Conventional wisdom says, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And take advantage of a situation when you get it. And if you have the advantage, don't be merciful. If you try to make peace, your enemy will take advantage of you. Conventional wisdom would say, do unto them before they do unto you. That would save you from being persecuted, falsely treated and insulted. That conventional wisdom is all the world's way. And Jesus is presenting another kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, which we get to taste when we see that our life story is listed among those who are blessed. Our life story is listed in that list of 12 things. Today, that is what Jesus is inviting you to do. To place your life story right in the middle of these Beatitudes and hear the promise on the other side. Those who are X will be why. That is what happens when Jesus rearranges us. A big word for that rearranging is called transformation. He knows you. He loves you. What a time it is to see your life story listed among those who are blessed. What encouragement it is to know that Jesus sees you. And he's speaking about internal attitudes and things that happen to us personally that are seen by our Heavenly Father and seen by Jesus. Jesus notices you and me when no one else does. Jesus sees the intentions of your heart when others don't. Jesus sees your pain when others pass you by. Jesus sees what evil has been done to you when no one else cares. That's a word of comfort and help for me today. How about you? Your life story is listed among those who are blessed. Well, because today is All Saints Day, I want to look at that one phrase, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning is wanting what used to be, but you can't have it back. And I think we totally understand that in the context of death, because death is final. But so many people, you know, wish that they could wake up and it would not be so, but it is. Yes, it is. But we also mourn in other things what was. When I was a kid, I could take my bicycle out right after lunch, and I would ride my bike around our neighborhood every day, all summer. We would play. We would do all kinds of things. We made trails. We did riding through the woods. We played with trucks. We did whatever it is we wanted to do. And then I'd come home for supper. And then I'd go out and play again. And there was a 10 o'clock siren at my town. And in the summertime, I got to stay up till 10. Wow. And when that siren rang, you better believe it. You better be home by then. But gosh, it was such a beautiful thing. And I think that was the way growing up was for many of you. It wasn't the fear that there was somebody out there that wanted to do harm to you. Nowadays, when I'm with my grandkids, I'll tell you what, I keep an eye on them all the time. I never let them out of my sight, because things have changed in our world. And that's mourning what was is something that this psalm is talking about. The Bible is the story of God's people and the story of God. And for the people of Israel, they mourn what was. The nation of Israel was always looking back at the most glorious time when King David was on the throne and their territory was the largest. Their enemies were conquered. And it's important to realize this, that God gave this land to them. It wasn't a human idea. It was God's promise to them. We saw that in Genesis, way back in chapter 12 for Abram, when God says, "Go to the land that I will give to you. I will make you the father of a nation, and your offspring will not even be able to be counted, and you will be blessed to bless the entire world." Joshua led the Israelites to conquer the land after the Exodus, after the 40 years in the wilderness. And generations fought for it. And it was the largest under King David. And then a lot of history happened. If you read through the books of the Bible, a lot of sin, a lot of disobedience, a lot of failure, to the point where God allowed the enemies to conquer Israel. Assyria took out the northern kingdom, and Babylon destroyed the southern kingdom and the temple. And now, what we read in the Beatitudes, in the time of Jesus, the temple was there, but Israel was under the oppression of the Romans. And so they lament. They mourn. They mourn for what was, what they wish would be. And Jesus, but they're not just wallowing in their sorrow. Jesus blesses them and assures them they will be comforted. Blessed are they who mourn. It means, I wish I could wake up and it would not be so, but it is. And we are living in a new world with an old soul. But your life story, is listed among those who are blessed. When we mourn, it says, we will be comforted. Where does that comfort come from? I think it simply comes in this profound way, knowing that God would say to you, "I've got this. I've got this. I'm holding you." And also it comes from people who will just stay with us and be with us, sit with us. We have Stephen ministers who are specialists in talking to people and helping people, listening to people and sharing just to validate what's going on in their lives. That's comforting. And also to know that there's a resurrection, that the life we live doesn't end with the grave and being buried in the columbarium. It ends with the resurrection of the dead, that there's going to be a huge reunion in heaven. That song that I mentioned, "The Only Scars in Heaven," is a refrain that goes like this. It says at the end of the first verse, "'Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me it's going to heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. We think about that with our loved ones. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, well, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are in the hands that hold you now. So that is what today, All Saints Day, and the celebration is meant to do. It doesn't change the reality that your loved one is gone to light a candle for them. So I wanted to think about that, and I was thinking about, why do we light a candle? What does it do? I think I light a candle for me. I light a candle because the scriptures say that faith burns like a flame. It's like a flame that burns in us. And so when I light that candle, I'm reminding myself to believe, to trust God, to realize that God's got this. It's not for them. It's that faith would burn in my heart. And that's the promise that he gives to us, that we will be comforted. So lighting this candle, in a sense, is moving that grief just one little step, maybe, for you. But knowing that we can trust God in our losses and in our life. Because mourning is the reality of life. We often wish that for what used to be, and even Jesus was mourning just before he was crucified when he walked into Jerusalem, and he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often have I desired to gather your children together as hens gather her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Even Jesus wished that it was the way that we wished it was, but it wasn't that way. It wasn't true. The promise today is that when you mourn, you're blessed, because Jesus is the end of all things. We will be comforted, he says. Your life story is listed among the blessings and among those who are blessed. So today, light a candle and let the flame of Jesus' love burn in your life, and that God has got this. Let us pray. Lord, what an encouragement it is to hear Jesus speaking about internal attitudes and things that happen to us personally are seen by you, seen by our Father in heaven. That Jesus notices what no one else does. Jesus sees the intentions of our hearts when others don't. Jesus sees our pain when others pass us by. Jesus sees the evil that's done to us when no one else cares. Lord, he sees our pain. You see our pain. And you say we will be comforted in it. Lord, today I thank you for the love that gives us the opportunity to mourn. Because when we love deeply, it hurts deeply to lose another one. And Lord, our losses, our spouses, our siblings, parents, friends, Lord, we thank you for the life that they've lived with us. And pray today, Lord, that you would use today's music and worship and service and candle lighting and everything to help us move our pain and receive your comfort. Thank you that our life story is listed among those who are blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.